Last Sunday, we began a new sermon series on the Holy Spirit. This series, we're going to be focusing on what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit to his disciples in what is often known as the Upper Room Discourse on the night before he died on the cross. And this discourse is found in the Gospel of John in chapters 14 through 16. Last Sunday, we began by looking at what Jesus had to say about the Spirit's presence, how the Holy Spirit is present with believers. He is present as our advocate who walks alongside of us. He is present as God himself who is with us and who even indwells within us. Well, today we're going to be shifting to another area of focus on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's teaching. And so we're going to be looking at this other aspect of what Jesus emphasizes in these chapters. I'm going to be reading today from John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, but we'll also look at some other verses within this broader discourse that also focus on this particular theme of the Spirit's teaching. So in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, Jesus says this, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." I want to focus on three aspects of the Holy Spirit's teaching that we see in these verses. And the first aspect of the Holy Spirit's teaching is that the Holy Spirit brings to mind Jesus' teaching. The Holy Spirit brings to mind Jesus' teaching. In verse 26, Jesus says to his disciples that the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, there is particular significance to this idea when we think especially of those original disciples. Jesus had spent about 3 years with his 12 disciples, teaching them, showing them miracles, inviting them along with him as he healed people, as he taught crowds of people. And so Jesus' disciples heard many things that Jesus said over those 3 years. After Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, it was these disciples who were entrusted with the mission of proclaiming the good news of Jesus to the world. But from what we read in the Gospels, the disciples didn't actually understand a lot of what Jesus said during his ministry. They were often confused. In fact, in John's Gospel, there are a few moments where John makes a note that the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about in a particular situation until after he had been raised from the dead. So this is why what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit in these verses is so important. Because Jesus tells his disciples that after he has died and risen and ascended into heaven, they won't have to remember and understand everything that he has told them just by their own powers of memory or their own insight. No, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will remind them of everything Jesus said to them over that 3-year period of time. And so God himself would guide the disciples to recall Jesus' teaching, the words that he spoke to individuals that he encountered, and even these very words that Jesus was speaking to the disciples in this upper room discourse. And the Holy Spirit would also teach the disciples to understand parts of Jesus' teaching that during his actual ministry, they didn't understand. Now, what this means for us today is that the words of Jesus that we read in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the words that the Holy Spirit reminded the disciples of. They aren't words that the disciples made up. They are the words that Jesus spoke. And so we can trust that if God cared enough to enter into our world and to take on flesh and become a human being and to go to the cross to die for our sin, if God cared that much to save us, then he probably also cared enough to make sure that his words spoken through Jesus were recorded and passed along accurately. And this happened through the Holy Spirit's teaching. Now, does the Holy Spirit do this still today? Absolutely. Does the Spirit remind us of Jesus' teaching as well? Yes. The way that the Holy Spirit does this kind of teaching for us today is, first of all, through the written Word of God. Through the words that the Holy Spirit inspired the original writers of the Bible to write. And so as we read God's Word, we are reminded of what Jesus said because of what the disciples were reminded by the Holy Spirit to write down. But the Holy Spirit, who, as we looked at last week, lives within us, he is also able to remind us of what we have read in the Scriptures and to help us understand Jesus' teaching, just like he did with those first disciples. When I was in college, there was one summer where I really experienced the reality of this in a powerful way. I went on a summer mission trip, and during our training, before we left on our team, there was one evening when one of our team members had gotten very sick. And so we all gathered around her, and we laid our hands on her, and we prayed for her healing. And as we were praying, a story came to my mind. A very particular story from the Gospels, the story of Jesus' healing of the paralytic. And it came in a very strong and vivid way. And so as I was praying, I began to pray the words of that scripture over this teammate of mine. I prayed that just as Jesus saw the faith of the friends of that paralyzed man, that he would also see our faith as we were bringing our friend to Jesus for healing as well. And so we prayed, and the next day, our teammate was healed. Our teammate was feeling much, much better. There were several other moments on that mission trip when I also experienced the Holy Spirit bringing to mind passages of Scripture to share. There's one situation where a couple of teammates and I were visiting a small group of women who were new believers, and they were having a Bible study. And one of our hosts asked me on the spot if I would be willing to lead a Bible study for them right then. And my initial reaction was to feel frozen with fear. But then the Holy Spirit brought to mind a passage of Scripture that our team had been studying together. And so I led an impromptu Bible study on that passage right then and there. Now, I wanted to remind you that I was not a pastor at that time. I was a 21-year-old college student. So how did I do that? Because of the Holy Spirit living within me. The Spirit brought to mind Jesus' teaching and gave me the words to speak. Do you think that the Holy Spirit could do that through you? I know some of you could probably tell many similar stories of moments where the Holy Spirit brought to mind a passage of Scripture to share with someone at a particular moment. But I know that there are also others of you who might be thinking, well, that's other people, but God wouldn't do that for me. Like I said last week, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that means that you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. He wants to remind you of Jesus' words to both encourage you, but also that you might pass those words along to someone else who needs to hear them. Don't discount the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't say that God could never use you in that way, because it's not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit who lives within you. It's about the Holy Spirit working through you. He wants to teach you. He wants to remind you of Jesus' teaching, and he wants to use you to share that teaching with others. Are you open to his teaching of you? The second aspect of the Spirit's teaching is that the Holy Spirit leads us to the truth. In verse 26, Jesus tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. So here the scope of the Spirit's teaching seems to broaden beyond just reminding the disciples of Jesus' words. Here Jesus says that the Spirit will also teach them all things. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Well, later on in the same discourse, in chapter 16, Jesus comes back to this idea. When in John 16, verse 13, he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." So here Jesus actually calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. And he says that the Spirit will lead the disciples into all the truth. So does this mean that the Holy Spirit is going to teach the disciples quantum mechanics and calculus and reveal the answer to every question that humanity has ever asked? No. We need to read this statement in the context of what Jesus says next. In verse 14 of chapter 16, Jesus says, "He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." So the truth that the Holy Spirit will reveal to the disciples is the truth that Jesus gives the Spirit to reveal to them. What is that truth? What is this all truth that Jesus is talking about that the Holy Spirit will give to the disciples? Well, earlier in this discourse, Jesus told his disciples back in earlier part of chapter 14, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus says that he himself is the truth. So when the Holy Spirit leads the disciples and us into the truth, what that ultimately means is that he is leading us to Jesus, the embodiment of truth. There's a lot of talk in our culture today about the truth, or more often about what is not true. The label fake news is thrown around constantly. And it seems that especially over the past few weeks, there has been more and more controversy about what is true as it relates to this coronavirus. How deadly is the virus? How did it originate? How safe is it to begin reopening parts of the economy? And in the midst of these questions and these debates, there have been conspiracy theory videos on YouTube, and there have been mixed messages coming from different parts of our government. And it seems like what happens with just about everything these days, just about every answer that is given, gets associated with a particular partisan political perspective. Now, it is important to search for the truth when it comes to things like the coronavirus or different claims that leaders make. And God has given us minds and reason and a world that we can gather information from to search the truth and to find out what is real. But as important as all those questions are, the ultimate truth that matters the most is the truth of Jesus Christ. And it is that truth that the Holy Spirit is most interested in teaching us about. So my question for you is, whose classroom are you spending most of your time in during the week? Are you learning from the Holy Spirit as He leads you more and more into the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you spending time in God's Word and in prayer and searching the Scriptures and inviting the Spirit to teach you more and more of who God is and what He means for your life? Or are you spending more time in the classroom of cable news and social media and Netflix and the internet? And if you're in that classroom most of the time, what are those teachers leading you into? Are they leading you into greater truth or just greater outrage and anxiety and frustration and division and a sense of superiority toward people who you disagree with? I want you to sit with that question for a bit. Where do you go to try to find out truth? Whose classroom do you spend most of your time in? Do we know the words of Jesus to such a degree that they come readily to mind in most situations? Or do we better know the talking points from our political party? Who are you looking to for truth? And this leads to the third and final aspect of the Spirit's teaching that we see in this passage, which is that the Holy Spirit's teaching leads to peace. Right after Jesus says that the Spirit will teach the disciples all things and will remind them of what He has said to them, what does Jesus say in the very next verse? Well, in verse 27, He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." One of the things that the Holy Spirit will remind the disciples of is this very verse, that Jesus gives peace and that the world doesn't give this kind of peace. Right now, our world is full of troubled hearts and full of fear. Some people are troubled and fearful of the virus itself. Others are troubled and fearful of the effects of shutting down our economy for so long. And some are troubled and fearful about both of those things. Maybe you are troubled and fearful about leaving your home, or about the fact that so many other people are now leaving their homes. Or maybe you're troubled and fearful that people aren't willing to start leaving their homes. There is so much in our current context that can lead our hearts to become troubled and to be afraid. And if we look to the world around us for the solution to move us beyond these troubles and these fears, I'm sorry to break it to you, but you are going to be disappointed. The federal government, the CDC, the WHO, your favorite political leader or your commentator of choice, none of them is going to give you lasting peace. But the Holy Spirit, who reminds us of what Jesus has said and who leads us to the truth of who Jesus is, the Spirit is able to lead us to true peace, because true peace is found in Jesus Christ alone. Now, I'm not talking about a temporary feeling of calm or serenity. You might be able to get that from doing some deep breathing exercises or going for a run or taking a nap. No, what I'm talking about is, and what Jesus is talking about, is a peace that is deep and lasting and an objective reality that doesn't change based on your changing circumstances. It doesn't change based on how you're feeling. It doesn't change when a pandemic hits, or when you lose your job, or when you get sick, or when you can't pay your rent, or when you lose a loved one. It is a peace that passes understanding. It is a peace that is grounded in who Jesus is and what he has done for you. The peace that Jesus was leaving with his disciples, that he was giving to them and that he offers to us, only comes as a result of what Jesus was about to do the very next day. As he went to the cross to die for our sins so that we can be forgiven. As he opened a door for a restored relationship with God, which we can enjoy now and for all of eternity. And as he rose from the dead, so that we too can have victory over sin and suffering and death itself, he accomplished a lasting and permanent peace that we can enter into, where we can know that we are loved unconditionally, that we have nothing to ultimately fear, that God is for us, so what can be against us? And where we are reassured that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ or from his presence with us. Brothers and sisters, the world can't give us any of that. But Jesus can, and he does, freely. So as we close, are you experiencing the Spirit's teaching in your life? Are you regularly reading the Bible, the words that the Holy Spirit brought to mind for the original authors of Scripture? Are you hearing and reading and studying God's Word so the Spirit can bring his living Word to your mind in various situations throughout your day? Are you looking to Jesus as your ultimate truth? Are you looking to the Spirit to lead you to the truth that ultimately matters? Or are you looking elsewhere for truth? And have you received the lasting peace that Jesus came to give? Or are you looking to peace from the world? Today there is an opportunity to confess our sin, to admit that we have neglected God's word, that we have been looking to these other sources for truth or for peace rather than Jesus. And today, as we confess our sin, as we come back to God and repent of these ways that we have ignored the Spirit's teaching, there is also an opportunity to hear Jesus' words to you and to me. Your sins are forgiven. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So let us embrace the Spirit's teaching. As he brings to our minds Jesus' teaching, as he leads us to the truth that is embodied in Jesus himself, and as he leads us to the peace, the true peace that is found in Jesus alone. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we so often neglect your teaching, that we look to so many other teachers in our world, in our culture, for truth and for peace. And Lord, we confess that those teachers let us down, that they actually lead us into greater anxiety and greater confusion and greater division and animosity and pride. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for neglecting to listen to your teaching, to the Spirit's teaching. And so we pray, Lord, that today you would forgive us for our sin, forgive us for chasing after these other things, and that today you would speak your words of forgiveness and grace to us, and that you would remind us again that you have given us your Spirit to lead us into the truth, to give us peace, to remind us of the words of Jesus, these words that Jesus spoke to his disciples and that speaks to us, that you have come to give us your peace and that we do not have to be afraid or troubled anymore. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.